Hey guys, your favorite blockhead has some very exciting news. I want to let you guys know that your favorite blockhead is now a proud member of the Yogi's Podcast Network. YFB is proud to bring you more content from my friends Mike and Toria over at The Nightly Rant. So you can follow their shows on the Yogi's Podcast Network, which will include Peeling the Orange, which will deal with all the issues in Orange County, The Nightly Rant, Liberty Revealed, and even one of my favorites, the Elite Podcast Academy, where you can learn everything you want to know about being a professional podcaster, be able to reach more people and give your influence, even work on monetization and on podcast notes, you name it. This course will walk you through how to be a better podcaster. And your favorite blockhead is always very blessed to mention his membership with the Dose Leprechauns Podcast Network. You can find those links on the show, and you can always find Dose Leprechauns on iTunes and on YouTube. That being said, what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again to the show. You are listening to your favorite blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. Thank you for coming back to the show. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. I am a podcaster. I am a history teacher. I am a Peanuts enthusiast. I'm an MMA enthusiast. And in this context, I am proud to be with you tonight as we do a little bit of storytelling, as we look into the world of MMA, we look into the world of the Peanuts, and a few things that have been fan requested. So as we start tonight, the first thing I want to share is a little talk about my friends over at Five Finger Tees. Five Finger Tees offers a massive selection of movie, TV, pop culture inspired, and ridiculously funny t-shirts that won't break the bank. Their philosophy is they do all the work. They take care of the customer service, they take care of the designing, the shipping, the website, and by doing this, Five Finger Tees gives you, the customer, a great deal without having to sacrifice on quality. I would personally recommend the Great Pumpkin Believer t-shirt that's on Five Finger Tees, but all the other ones that you want to look at, if you are into The Office, you have Dunder Mifflin, you have your Killing Me Smalls, some of y'all that are Happy Gilmore fans, Guns Don't Kill People, I Kill People, that authentic shirt is with Five Finger Tees. So if you're interested in this, check them out with the description in my podcast. Go to the blog, and once you get to checkout, make sure you use the promo code 5OFF. That's all one word, all lowercase. 5OFF, F-I-V-E-O-F-F, to get 5% off of your purchase of a t-shirt or t-shirts from Five Finger Tees. Our scripture of the day is going to be coming from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 19. And this one is in response to the fan request that I have this week. And here's the scripture of the day. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. That's the key verse I want you to get out of this tonight, friends. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it sums it up completely. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Now, the question that was given to me is, how can we get back to what the founding fathers would have wanted when they first started our American nation? They looked at how at that time you were not to run for office, you were to stand for office. You were not to campaign for it. You were not to, I guess you can say, do some of the things that were found objectionable by the founding fathers, like log rolling or other types of campaign that were happening during that time, or giving your stump speeches. I guess there are a lot of things that are just exceptional in 2019 that are part of the political game that are objectionable under our founding fathers. And really, if we take it back a little bit further, to put this into context for anyone who's listening, if you look at the North American continent itself, you can look at it almost like a game of Risk. There are three dominant forces that are seeking total glory and total domination of the North American continent. That is Spain, France, and England. The way colonization happened during that time period is something that is almost unfathomable to the populace today. Spain was very much spending time in where my area is in Texas, spreading Catholicism and converting Native Americans to the Catholic faith. Meanwhile, looking for gold and being able to dominate land is also very true as well. That goes into the three G's of God, Gold, and Glory. Also, if you look at England, theirs was to completely take the land and completely acquire it for themselves, for the King of England. Meanwhile, France is doing something very different. They are more concerned on keeping trade and business relationships open with the Native Americans, all the way up into the time period of conflict, into the American Revolution, and on from that. So that one is very telling of the different type of... all had the same motive, but they approached it very differently. So when I look at this question about when you're seeing three countries who seek total domination of one continent in this Risk game, they have different strategical moves that they have. And when I say that, you have Americans who abruptly take their independence in an aggressive fashion. You have Canadians, well, they don't call themselves Canadians nowadays, they call themselves, what, Ontarians, Quebecers. You would have a much more passive approach with the French, but what matters is the fact that beaver fur is so high in demand during this time period that they wouldn't dare mess with the ability to have access to the Mississippi River and to continue to have trade with the natives, with the Iroquois, with the Inuit, with the Native Americans that are in the Canadian territory into the 10 provinces that are to come. So as we look at this, the question is going, how do we get back to what we had? And you cannot believe that America was in a great state of being. This was not some virtuous time period where we were all just in harmony with each other. When the time came for the Revolution to be over, we were still under the Articles of Confederation. And really, that was a tie of friendship amongst the colonies that ended up not having enough power to be able to levy taxes, to be able to fight over water rights. They're united in name only. The emergency meeting known as the Philadelphia Convention, which became the Constitutional Convention, is the most crucial time period in the history of our nation. If this had not worked, and we had not built an evolving, breathing document that still holds us together to this day, I believe we would be under a dictator as we speak. We might have started off being like Canada, we'd be under a constitutional monarchy, but I think it would be way worse than that. And so I pulled something about the early republic just to kind of help the idea that we can easily blame the government for saying that they would stay within the ditches, meaning they would stay on the road towards governments being limited and people having the freedoms, and then we drifted off course, and so therefore we've drifted ever since. We could do that blame game, but I want to share something with you that was written by Gordon Wood. This is from his book, Empire of Liberty. This is a very long book, mind you. Whenever I want a quick resource in American history to pull from, I use what's called the Oxford History of the United States. I quickly refer to that quite often. I'm really quite proud of my bookshelf that I have. There's some things that I don't that I take pride in. And what I have from my history collection is something that when I'm not sure about a topic, then I can reach over and I can pull it out and I can discuss with friends or listeners or thereof. And the quote came from this book, Empire of Liberty, A History of the Early Republic. And this is what Professor Gordon Wood had to say. Republics were very delicate. They required a special kind of society of equal and virtuous citizens. This reliance on the moral virtue of their citizens, on their capacity for self-sacrifice and impartiality of judgment, what made Republican governments historically so fragile. And no, he is not talking about the Republican Party. He is referring to the idea of republicanism, where leaders can be elected, where you can have representatives of the people. And that is also something else I have to briefly discuss, is that if you are going to serve in office during that time, when I say you stand for office instead of run, you are representing the people to a sort, but you're not necessarily of the people. That's something they would have found detestable at this time. And it's just something beyond our time. There were theorists from Plutarch that was of the time of iniquity. Then we have Machiavellian philosophy. That was from the book The Prince during the Renaissance age. And, of course, we could talk all day about The Prince and about how there's a lot of truth to if you want to be the greatest king or emperor anywhere, one of the best ways to do that is destroy all of the cities around you, build them up again, and start building your colonies to where people love you. It's quite an interesting way of thinking. But Montesquieu here that's in the text, to Montesquieu in the mid-18th century, is what I really want to make my emphasis on. He had argued, all of these guys had argued, that republics depended upon the virtue of their citizens, and they had to be small in size. This was something big Montesquieu said. You can't have democracy in a large setting because you can't have a full consensus of the masses. And if he were alive and was able to watch the fall of the Soviet Union, he would have said, of course, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, these are all French philosophers. That's a French philosopher. All these are philosophies that have carried on in a long period of time. And I'm going to continue reading. Otherwise, their citizens would have too many diverse interests and would not be able to cohere, defend themselves, and develop the proper spirit of self-sacrifice. So what it comes down to is we as citizens have to look square in the mirror and we have to say that we have allowed this to go on. We have allowed people that are incompetent to be in office. We have passively allowed people that are not of the people to represent us. And it goes back to the question at the end of how do you kill 11 million people by Andy Andrews. How loudly are you going to be singing when the whistle blows and the train goes by? Meaning, when those Jews are passing by in those cattle cars, past the churches, when they would hear the train coming down the tracks and you would hear the screams, what they would do is they would start singing louder until the train had passed. And the writer said, I believe that was the pastor of the church, he still hears the train whistle in his dreams. So am I trying to get you stirred up about going to vote? In a way, yes. When it comes to how to vote, that's not my place. I believe that we as a citizenry have to understand that democracy is simply hard work. And I don't believe that we will ever have another time like we did with the Founding Fathers. I believe that our Constitution is an evolving document that moves with the times. We keep the spirit of it in modern day context. The only answer I've got is if we need to make amendments. We've only made 27 of them so far. 27 changes to the Constitution. If you're upset about the 16th Amendment on how much that the government can tax us, well, then maybe it's time for us to have an amendment related to taxes. Could that be something we as a citizenry have an uprising about? I believe we've tried that. But what's happened is it's turned into party affiliation. You remember the Tea Party back in 2010? That's kind of loosely what I'm referring to. So, am I trying to be too political here? No. All I'm saying is that history is going to continue to repeat itself, and our answer is we should be, as it says in the scripture of the day, to pray for our leaders and to submit to them. When the time comes for us to put our money where our mouths is and go vote, we shouldn't have an excuse for not voting, and if we don't, then don't open your mouth about the direction the country's going in. And thirdly, we need to get these books off the shelf that talk about history, dust them off, and try to interpret what it's telling us. And that's part of what you're doing here. What makes a society so great is when it's more complicated. Things like open formats like this, things like rotary clubs, religious groups, even bowling leagues kind of add to keeping it so much, so complex to where it's not just us directly in the state. The more complex our government is, the more likely we are in a democracy. The more simple it is, the more likely we are under the ruling of a king or a dictator. And I think another thing we have to do, this will be the fourth one I'll add, when you're getting wound up about politics or wound up about the direction our government's going, I'm going to say three words to you. Change the channel. You are getting to where you have to be put in a rubber room, or maybe we should have you in one of those little bounce houses to where you just let your aggression out on somebody else that's wearing a red or blue shirt, whatever that case may be. There comes a time where I know you want to be informed, but what happens in your house is more important than what happens in the White House. Everything that happens in the home is a reflection of what happens in our government and our economy. It never fails when you take the time to study history. And when you take the time to look at the history of something else, we'll notice that we need an alternative to the use of tobacco. I want to talk to you guys that might be wanting to kick the tobacco habit. Those of you that are athletes that need your boost in energy. Talk to you tonight about grinds. Grinds coffee pouches. These small pouches of flavored coffee that can help you feel sharp and focused through the day or into the night. Originally designed as a healthy, tobacco-free, nicotine-free alternative to smokeless tobacco, Grinds has aided numerous people to kick their smokeless tobacco habit, and they're going to continue to impact the world with those that are ready to make the change. The healthy tobacco alternative, Grinds coffee pouches. Use the link in my podcast for the blog page. Sign up for email updates for these delicious tasting coffee pouches and find out how you can get 20% off of your first purchase from Grinds coffee pouches. Now, as you look at the title tonight for our show, you'll notice that I mentioned something that sounds like the phrase of Mortal Kombat. Those who have ever played the game, you've probably recognized the "finish him" phrase that comes at the end. Now, technically, if you've ever played that game, you don't have to lay hands on your opponent at all. They can still dwindle down and be defeated without you doing some spectacular ending to the game. That is what I'm going to discuss with what's going on tonight. You have two gentlemen, one that represents Bellator and one that's fighting for the UFC, that I specifically want to talk about, that have something that is very much a strong comparison, yet that's so different. Lyoto Machida is a guy, I watched an interview with him from Robin Black, and I continue to be impressed about how Lyoto Machida has shown that there's a difference in the actual philosophy of martial arts. We just got through with the philosophy of self-government briefly, and maybe you're still scratching your head over that. Go back and listen as often as you have to. But as we talk about the philosophy of martial arts versus being in a combative sport, Lyoto Machida is a guy that understands that he doesn't have to sell fights. What he worries about is he emulates the philosophy of martial arts. And here's the difference. There are some guys that go about the fight game just by winning their fights and wanting shots at the title. There are some, like Conor, like Ronda Rousey, like even Nate Diaz recently with Jorge Masvidal, that are actually able to sell fights by getting on the microphone and being able to get what they wish for. Now, in both cases, for the UFC and Bellator, the two I'm talking about, do not use this tactic. What's even more impressive is neither one of them finish the fighters that they are on the opposite side of, whether it is in the cage or on the microphone. and right now I'm discussing Lyoto Machida. I always wondered, why am I so at peace with him being the guy that ends the career of Randy Couture, Vitor Belfort, and Chael Sonnen? And the reason why is because Lyoto does not finish his opponents. Once he actually has them on the canvas, he doesn't go in for a second or third punch until the ref can actually separate him. What he does is he keeps his hand cocked back, he lets the referee do his job, and then he gives a bow, and then he cares about the well-being of his opponent. He actually watches where he is on the canvas and wishes for his well-being. The same thing is going on with another particular guy in the UFC, only this time on the microphone, and his name is Robert Whittaker. And Robert is the current middleweight champion, unless somehow Israel Adesanya comes out and, I wouldn't say does the impossible, but really shocks the world and takes the middleweight championship belt. Now, with the last time that we had the press conference with Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya, Israel tried to stir up controversy with him by saying, you were on this, you did this on social media, and quickly Robert gets on the microphone, does something that is very odd. He says, you're absolutely right, I shouldn't have done that, and I apologize for my antics. So my answer to all of these is, I'm starting to notice that respect may not sell tickets, but legends do. Lyoto Machida is about to face one of the most dangerous men in the octagon, known as Gegard Mousasi. Now granted, he just lost to Rafael Lovato Jr., he lost his title, and part of that's because Rafael has a very unorthodox style, which means so does Lyoto Machida. So thus I get to the name of my actual podcast, which is Don't Finish Him. Lyoto Machida doesn't finish his opponents when it's in the cage. Robert Whittaker doesn't finish his opponents on the microphone. And unfortunately, he just has had a stroke of bad luck from Melbourne, Australia. So this Australian is a guy who would rather just take care of business in the cage and doesn't use any disrespect or any kind of mudslinging or slander. Lyoto Machida doesn't need this tactic of selling a fight or using trash talk, and he actually cares about the well-being of his opponents. He doesn't finish them. He's not the only one that does that. It's just very rare. Michael Venom Page does the same thing, only he still uses taunting. He just doesn't go for the kill. He doesn't go for the final knockout. If the guy's on the canvas, he just waits and lets the ref do his thing. Mark Hunt, the heavyweight known for doing the same thing, he will not finish you while you are on the canvas. So Lyoto Machida doing that is really brought a lot of peace for me with a lot of these other guys he's fought. But Gegard Mousasi has amazing defensive wrestling. He's got great, even though he lost to Rafael Lovato Jr., he showed how great he is at octagon control. Could that be a problem for Lyoto Machida? We're going to find out tonight. Because Lovato has an unorthodox style, Machida has one too. Is that going to give Gegard Mousasi some problems? We're going to see, as this is going to be a great fight because you have legends that are facing each other. You've also got a guy by the name of Juan Archuleta from good old Joe Daddy Stevenson's camp that yours truly talked to on this right here on this podcast that's actually going to go against the featherweight champion himself known as Pitbull. Thus, you have the start of the featherweight Grand Prix. And again, we're going to watch and see just how good Pitbull really is. If he can hold on to this title all the way to the finals, the same way that Rory McDonald has done with Douglas Lima, this is just a narrative that cannot be overlooked. But Juan Archuleta has got some serious tools in his belt that's going to give him a long night. So this is going to be a lot of fun to check out. Also, really happy just to announce the fact that Sam Alvey, who's been on this show too, they just announced that he's going to have a fight with Shogun Hua. Now, do I like the matchup 100% for this? I like the fact that the light heavyweight championships are playing musical chairs and whoever is left standing is going to have a shot at John Jones. Now, does that mean that Alvey has a shot here? Again, my bias would tell me no, but my heart tells me I would love to see it happen. Would be another birthday wish come true, as I already have enough at this point, having Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal that are stepping into the cage. And I look at all this and I just go, okay, don't finish him is actually something that yours truly can appreciate for this show. You got two great, great fights that are going on tonight. And another thing I can say is why it matters so much for Whittaker and Adesanya is because of the coveted prize that they're holding. Whoever holds the middleweight title in the UFC is holding the most important title in the history of our sport. Why? Because the two very best to ever do it have held that title. Their names are Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre. Most people couldn't tell you who the guys are fighting for now, but who held those titles and who are considered two of the greatest that anybody who's followed the sport knows who they are? Silva, St. Pierre, have both held the middleweight title. And these guys are actually fighting for that prize tonight. And it's nice to know that I've mentioned these guys too. When I was on the actual Nightly Rant podcast, it's nice to know that about three of my guys are in the limelight right now. I mentioned be watching for Israel Adesanya. Be watching for Justin Gaethje. Because now, whoever wins with Khabib and Tony Ferguson, that's exactly who Gaethje deserves. So it's nice to know that two times out of three, your favorite blockhead, just from a fan standpoint, is going to get it right. So I've had a lot of fun discussing this with you guys, and I truly appreciate how much you guys have stayed on the journey with me, and I also love the fact that my sweet little Marcy has stayed with me the whole time for this podcast, but we want to make sure we remember our furry loved ones, don't we? So Blockhead has a really fun link that you can check out from my friends over at True Dog. True Dog exclusively uses premium-grade human cuts of U.S. source meats. No wheat, no corn, no grains, no fillers, just refined, no added salt, digestible quality protein. This has been seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, Lifetime, and the Health and Wellness Channel. True Dog foods and snacks are formulated with advice and nurturing from leading holistic veterinarians to help dogs live longer, happier, healthier lives. Whether it's the Snoopy in your life or it's the Marcy in your life, get anywhere from 29% to 48% off of items from True Dog by using the link provided in the blog page for this podcast today. And once again, guys, if ever there was a time for you to be an MMA fan, this is it. This is a good time, and we are strapped in over here at the Blockhead Nation to enjoy every bit of it. This has been your favorite Blockhead, and we'll see you in the next same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.